Live from the BMW of Des Moines Sports Desk, it's an X's and O's update on 1460 KXNO.
I'm Trent Condon. The conference championship games are set in the NFL for the eighth straight year. It'll be New England in the AFC championship game. They get out to a 35-7 halftime lead and win it 41-28 over the Chargers. They take on Kansas City 5:40 on Sunday. In the NFC, top seed in New Orleans struggled with Philly, down 14-0 early. They came back, but the Eagles with one last chance.
Get this off with a two-minute warning. Little surprise. Foles back, throws. Intercepted! Went right through Jeffrey's hands! It's Lattimore!
The call from Fox. In college basketball yesterday, UNI holds off Drake 57-54. Trey Burhau with the difference.
Burhau fires the three. That's good. The answer from the sophomore.
Brad Wells on the call for Fox Sports. Drake, UNI, Iowa, and Iowa State back in action all on Wednesday.
KXNO.com to learn more from 1460 KXNO.
Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Portions of this hour brought to us by our friends at Fuller Dentals, Dr. Stephen Fuller, a couple of locations. Doc Fuller is my dentist. If you're an East Sider, Eastern Polk County, because they've got an office in Altoona, 410 8th Street Southwest in Altoona, also 2822 East 29th Street in Des Moines, Dr. Stephen Fuller, fullerdental.net. All right, Trent, to answer the question, that is the Pat Mahomes becomes the first Big 12 alum. Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman, longtime columnist, actually went back to the Big 8 and found four quarterbacks, one of which has multiple Super Bowls, and
yeah.
I guess they can claim him.
Oh, I know where you're going.
But UCLA would also want to claim
Troy Aikman. Yes. Started his career at Oklahoma. Wasn't exactly a fit for the wishbone.
No, right? Do you like Troy Aikman with Joe Buck, by the way?
He's been a lot better this year.
I think he's great. I love his laugh.
Yes.
I think he's got a really good sense of humor. Look at this guy. You know what I really like about him? When he points out open receivers, why is the quarterback holding the ball? He had this option, that option, and this option. He's terrific. I'm a big fan. Vince Ferragamo at Nebraska went 3-3.
Okay.
He led the Rams to a Super Bowl in 79.
Mm-hmm.
Cordell Stewart with the Steelers. The Broncos picked him off. In 97, I want to say. Yeah, the first Super Bowl win. They had to get by Pittsburgh at Three Rivers at the time to get there. And Lynn Dickey at K-State, who led the Packers to a playoff victory in 1982. So going way back.
Yes.
But Aikman, the most decorated, but I guess you can claim him. He did play 2 years there.
But not a ton. I mean, overall.
No, not a ton. Not a ton. Hey, let's do the NFL from yesterday. Nick Athens coming up on the Chiefs. Well, let's go back more than yesterday. Let's do the NFL weekend. Of the four games, the Saints and the Eagles maybe had the most drama in the game.
The weekend kind of stunk. I mean, let's be honest.
Cowboys-Rams wasn't terrible.
What? That's what you're saying? It wasn't terrible?
Right.
Was it a great weekend?
No, the finale, I think, saved. I mean, look good. It's 14-0 for Philadelphia.
Yes.
14-0 for the Eagles, a 6 seed. But for the, sixth straight year, we're going to have Lawrence Welk, a 1-2. 1-2 in both the AFC and the NFC championship games. They were good. I mean, the Chiefs were terrific. I have to, you know, give credit where credit is due, and I think I speak for America in regards to the New England Patriots, but my God, what a show that they put on. What an unbelievable dismantling over a pretty darn good football team, at least we thought, in the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, the Patriots they never gave them a chance. Never gave them a chance in that football game. It was as one-sided, maybe even more so than the score indicates. I mean, 41-28, that wasn't that close of a football game. They were never in this football game. They ran the ball. They did whatever they wanted. And here we go again. For what, the eighth straight year, Trent, the Patriots in a conference championship. Think about that stat.
Eight in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You were hopeful.
No, I was. America was hopeful. I was part of America.
You were hopeful.
Uh-huh.
The NFL wants this. The NFL wants New England again.
Yeah, they're not getting them.
They're not.
I think the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
Well, rewind to a year ago, and you said Jacksonville was going to pick off
and
New England.
And for the first, I know the game's not 45 minutes, it's 60.
Yes.
Here's the thing about this Chiefs team. I know the Cowboys are self-anointed. Nah, they're more than self-anointed. They are America's team.
Mm-hmm.
Think what Pat Mahomes is going to do for this brand, for this Kansas City Chiefs brand. If he keeps playing the way that he is and the passes that he continues to make and the plays he continues to make time after time after time. If you're a fan of the Raiders, if you're a fan of the Chargers, if you're a fan of the Broncos, get tied on, folks. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be... I don't want to say that they're going to become the Patriots. They'll do to the West what the Patriots have done to the East. But this Mahomes kid, what's his weakness? How do you stop him? How do you stop him?
You can't. I mean, he's got some weapons with him. Tyreek Hill, that run.
Excellent point. I mean, he's good. And Sammy Watkins is a nice player, and so mm-hmm. is Travis Kelce. And yes. I like his offensive line.
Yes. These are all things... Haven't we seen guys thrust onto the scene? It feels different.
But the constant is the quarterback. And those other pieces, I don't want to say that are interchangeable because Hill's the fastest guy in the league. And Kelsey's maybe the best tight end right now in the game.
But didn't we say the same thing 4 years ago with Andrew Luck? And then he lost basically two seasons?
Did we? I mean, it just feels different for this kid. Yeah, you're right. I mean, to be fair, Andrew Luck did lose a couple of seasons due to the injury. But the way he sidearms the football, you know, he looked like Dan Quisenberry. He really,
he wasn't going submarine.
He was going way down to make that play. This is this could be a long decade, perhaps, if you're a fan of another team. You know, this Chiefs team is not going anywhere.
What would you brought up, you know, the Chiefs becoming America's team. I mean,
not America's team, but the brand is going to elevate. Pat Mahomes is going to sell a whole bunch of jerseys.
Sure. But at first I scoffed about it because, come on, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to become a national
brand.
Well,
you can go back one further. You didn't think out of Texas Tech he was going to have the impact in the game that he's having.
No, I didn't. Historically, those guys haven't been... Mm,
you're right. It was fair for you to say that. I'm not criticizing
you. Yeah, he had a losing record. He lost up at Ames.
I would say
66-10.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be a star in the... Okay.
That was the Joel Lanning game, wasn't it, with all the touchdowns?
Yes,
five?
But then I thought a little deeper as you were talking... Did anybody see the Golden State Warriors becoming the brand that they are?
No. They were laughingstock.
Yes. It was a terrible organization for a number of years.
Well, they played in the Pacific time zone, but you weren't going out of your way to check a Golden State box score.
No.
Right?
It was fun when they had Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway and Run TM, whatever it was, and Mitch Richmond, but they pulled an upset and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here they are. And people go hours early so they can watch Steph Curry in warm-ups.
Right. That's pretty fun. I understand why they do it.
And now are there going to be people going early to watch Pat Mahomes in his warm-ups?
I mean, of the relatively young quarterbacks, the first or second year guy, Baker Mayfield's got a chance to make a big impact in this game and make a big impact on the league, at least you would think. But Mahomes right now, I mean, he's another level, Trent.
You made me think, and you turned me. Good work out of you. Another Big 12 quarterback. Missed one.
That played a Big 12 quarterback that won a football game?
Well, Big 8.
A player? Okay, who?
New England Patriots. Led them to a Super Bowl.
1985?
Mm-hmm. By the way, I didn't realize he played in a Big 8 school. Steve Grogan played at K-State.
All right.
Caller helped us out on that one.
I stand corrected. There's another one. I didn't know.
Barry Trammell missed that one.
He did miss that one. Okay. 1985. That was your Bears.
You could have given me 80 guesses. I don't think I would have come up with K-State for Steve Grogan.
No, I don't think I would have either. I don't think I would have.
I remember
either.
Steve Grogan.
I'm sure you do.
Don't remember K-State, though. Those must have been some putrid K-State teams.
It had to have been. Lynn Dickey, did he get the job after Steve Grogan?
Oh.
Or was it the other way around? Dickey passed it off to Grogan? Because at the same time era, I mean, in the mid-80s, early to mid-80s, Yeah. It had to have been it. Well, we'll take a timeout as we go back down memory lane of all places, K-State, in the early 80s. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with Nick Athan, ChiefsBlitz.com. We're going to double up on Nick this week. We'll recap Saturday here today, take a brief look ahead, but we're going to save our significant look ahead with Nick until Friday. Trent and I are here every Monday through Friday from 10 until noon, talking sports with you. All, by the way, Jason Symbol, CG Technology, still to come. How did Vegas do on the four games this weekend? What have we got for numbers? And when they put the numbers on the board, what got attacked by the sharps, the pros? Which way did they go when the numbers first went up? We'll do that with Jason. Trent and I are here until noon. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
It's 24-hour sports, morning, noon, and night, here on 1460 KXNO.
Hi, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Digging into that Steve Grogan thing a little bit more. Tony Eason started most of those games, right? By then, he'd lost his spot to Grogan.
Yes.
But here's what I appreciate. Because we both, I mean, everybody in the building thought that our audience would be toward the top of the demographic.
Mm-hmm.
What did you call us earlier? Us old-timers?
Old-timers, yes.
I appreciate that. That the old-timers are still listening to Sports Talk Radio and calling in. I really do. Nick Athan, ChiefsInsider.com. Chiefs Blitz, beg your pardon. You can follow him on Twitter, Chiefs Insider. He joins us as we take a look back, a brief look forward. We're going to save most of the preview to next Friday. Nick, great to talk to you. Trent and Ken, you know, one of the most bizarre plays in the whole football game, and I don't know, we haven't spoken about this yet, Trent and I.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts finally make a play, and one of their defensive tackles decides, Autry, decides to give the white hat a lap dance. I mean, what a crazy, crazy, selfish play.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, I don't get players to celebrate when they're down 20 points, you know, they make a stop. I mean, the mentality is that it's a me moment, and sometimes you're a me person, and, you know, that was huge. I mean, it definitely cost them, you know, it's just, some guys just don't know how to handle the spotlight, and clearly he didn't. And, you know, it seems like a lot of players on that side of the field didn't understand the spotlight and the opportunity they had. So a lot of mistakes by the Colts, you know, up and down the roster. So at the end of the day, just not a very smart thing to do.
The fashion that it happened, the way that it played out and mm-hmm. jumping out to the early lead, did it feel after they got those two scores right away, two running touchdowns, that it almost exercised some demons, that it was just no more waiting around and this thing's not going to be close. We're going to do what we're supposed to do finally in the divisional round.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the thing, I mean, I think I talked about it on the show last week. I mean, the key to me was Mahomes coming out and being composed, and he was. You know, he made some third down throws. He made some tough throws. And then, you know, when he found Sammy Watkins on that first drive, that's when I just exhaled and said, okay, they got this, because – to me, he's the key to this whole offense right now. And I think what was great to see was that Mahomes just came out. He did what he had to do. He took care of business. He put 14 points on the board and said, okay, guys, here you go, defense. Here's my present. You know, go pin your ears back and go after the quarterback. And the defense responded in what was obviously their best game of the year. And the way they did it was even more impressive. But to me, that 14-point lead, Mahomes composed, everybody touching the ball, everybody was involved in the offense, that told me that I thought the Chiefs were going to have a pretty good day.
Hmm. Damon Williams has been a revelation to me. I mean, it was going to be a, you know, really tough to overcome the loss of Kareem Hunt. I mean, I don't think anybody with the time he was in the league going back 2 years and into this year had rushed for more yards than Hunt had. How are you ever going to get past this? This is a huge blow. And then all of a sudden, here comes Damon Williams. I don't think that they've taken a step back at all, Nick, and think about that. I mean, we're talking about Kareem Hunt and what he was able to do in the league so early. Yep. Williams has been terrific.
Yeah, that's why Eric Bieniemy is going to be a hell of a head coach someday, because he just knows how to work running backs. And I think he's just been terrific. I mean, I thought, you know, they gave him the opportunity. I think the Spencer Ware injury was probably a blessing in disguise, though I love Spencer, and hopefully he can be active this weekend and, you know, he can help this football team. But I really am impressed with him, his mentality. You know, I didn't realize that he was going to sign with the Colts, and they were upset about his injury, you know, maybe not disclosing everything properly or whatever it was. He ended up signing with the Chiefs. And, you know, he can just cut down, you know, running backwards a little bit. Mm. You know, despite all that, he still had 156 yards in total offense. But you know, again, he's another key cog. You know, it's not what you expected, but when he made that 10-yard run, I'm thinking, whoa, you know, the guy gets the moment. It wasn't too big for him, which was a concern. And on the opposite side of the field, Mac, you know, the moment was too big for him. Yeah. He couldn't find the running lanes and what he needed to do. But yeah, he's a terrific addition. Again, that just gives the Chiefs now another weapon for the Patriots to have to worry about. You know, and listen, I don't know how the Patriots are going to stop this team. If everybody's on full cylinder and Watkins is healthy and Williams is running and Kelce and Tyreek Hill, who they couldn't cover in the first game, you know, it's just sky's the limit right now for Kansas City.
As you go through and you look at the weather, we thought it was going to be a big impact and how huge it was going to be. I guess the biggest impact that it turned out to be was for Jeff Allen. For people that missed that story, how unbelievable a guy gets caught, a guy helps him out, and he's going to get tickets to the AFC Championship game out of it. Got to be happy about that.
It's good to know that football players do the right thing and appreciate when somebody helps them. You know, I think it was terrific. You know, good for Jeff to be able to do that. I'm glad that they connected, and it's just it kind of tells you, you know, what Kansas City's all about too. Because I mean, that probably wasn't the only person that helped somebody out, and the fact that all the players, most of them got there on time, and you know, the fans were so into it, and it's just it's a great feel good story. It just kind of adds to the whole aura and the moments of what we all witnessed on Saturday. Because you know, I am an old timer, and that's 25 years. I was at that Montana game, sitting in the end zone, you know, where that touchdown took place and the block punt and all that stuff. And I thought, you know, It was just good to see the crowd the way they acted, and that just goes to show you what kind of fans that we have in Kansas City.
Well, this old timer was at the Monday night game between Montana and Elway, and to this day, I think it's the best game I've ever seen in person, and it didn't go my team's way.
Yeah, I still have that on VHS somewhere.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Just to be there was terrific. Hey, Nick, Trent and I talked about this earlier in the program. You know, fast forward 5 years, and where are the Chiefs in the minds of America's NFL fans? I mean, Dallas is America's team. Pat Mahomes, I think, is... You know, Brady can't play forever, right? At least I hope he can't. I'm starting to wonder. But who's going to be the face of this league? And what does it do for that Chiefs brand? Because you know that there's a bunch of 8, 9, 10, 12-year-olds, you know, that are starting to find the NFL maybe, and they're trying to pick a team. And all those young kids, for the most part, are going to pick a team that's very good or plays for Super Bowls or makes playoffs. I just think that this Chiefs team, their stock, if you could buy stock in the Kansas City Chiefs, I would be.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, for the next 5 years, you know, I think the Chiefs have pretty much anything and everything in front of them. Now, listen, they've got some roster tweaking to do defensively, even offensively. They're still going to need to bring in wide receivers, and they're still going to need to fix that defense. And, you know, they're going to hopefully have a new defensive coordinator at the end of the year or beginning of next year anyway. And I think if you are looking at a team to become the next darling, listen, Patrick Mahomes is special. He's unique. He's grounded. He's mature. Everybody's rooting for him. I don't think there's a football fan outside of Boston that isn't rooting for Patrick Mahomes to defeat the Patriots. And, you know, he's not like that Roethlisberger or even that Brady type. You know, he just is honest. He's up front. You know, he knows what he has to do. He takes responsibility. I mean, you know, if you think about what it takes to be an NFL star, he had 25 years of burden on his shoulder Saturday. Think about that. 25 seasons of postseason failure, postseason losses, failed expectations. And what did he do? He came out and he handled it like he's like, he got this. We didn't worry about it. And I just think it was so impressive what he did. And if you look back 5 years from now, or 5 years ahead, and you look back at this very moment, to me, anything that happens next is a bonus. Because I think the Chiefs are playing on house money. I think the fans feel that way. I think everybody around the country, you know, sees it. And I just think if you're a young fan, who else would you not look up to? The guy that believes in God, faith, teamwork, has his teammates back, is a leader, he's a motivator, plus he's the most talented young quarterback that's come out of college probably since John Elway. That's an impressive thing.
What would be the concern when you look at that 5-year window? Is it The defense never gets fixed.
No, can I answer your question? It's the fact that he's not going to be on a rookie contract forever.
That's true.
Right? Oh, yeah.
After that, yeah, 4 years, yeah. 4 or 5 down the road, yeah, that is scary.
No, yeah, that's no. Honestly, he'll be the first $200 million quarterback, and the Chiefs will be happy to pay for it.
Yeah.
So that, trust me, I know Lee Steinberg well enough, and I think I know Clark Hunt well enough. If the Chiefs ever want to get a new stadium, and I know that they do, somewhere in Kansas City or improve Arrowhead even more, it'll be the house that Mahomes built, and it's going to be expensive. But, yeah, he's never going anywhere, so we don't have to worry about that one.
Interesting questions. Point you just brought up. So if they do move, Nick, and that's the first I'd heard, where in Kansas City would they want to build? It seems they've got an ideal spot. Parking in and out might be a bit of a problem on some days when you're going down those ramps. But where would they move the stadium? Ideally, everybody wants to be downtown, but I'm not sure that makes sense in Kansas City, does it?
No. I think ultimately the Royals will move to Kansas City, Kansas, and I think the Chiefs either are going to go somewhere downtown potentially, or they'll just take a spot of land and they'll just build a new Arrowhead. I mean, listen, the Chiefs want a dome. The Midwest needs a dome. They want to bring Final Fours. They want to bring, you know, massive concerts.
Super Bowl.
They want to bring Super Bowls, Olympic events. I mean, you know, all these things are possible. And trust me, if a dome is built, Kansas City will get a Super Bowl. Roger Goodell is going to give that to Hunt. And I don't think there's any question about that. But Final Fours would be in the rotation. You know, and I think the opportunity that the organization has, not only to win a Super Bowl now, but to really solidify themselves, you know, as a money producing machine, which is, you listen, it's the bottom line in the NFL. You got to make a lot of money. This is an important weekend and potentially an important 3 weeks, because I don't care what legislator, if you're on the red side or the blue side, if the Chiefs even hint at going to Kansas City, Kansas, trust me, they're going to pony up all the money they need to either re-renovate Arrowhead the right way, put a dome on there, and because it does. It still is outdated to some degree. It still has the best sight lines, and I know you can't replicate it, but there's a lot at stake this game coming up and potentially a Super Bowl for Kansas City, you know, to secure and to really build a stadium that, honestly, this town deserves. They deserve, you know, the creme de la creme stadium. They deserve not necessarily a Jerry Jones type of stadium, but, you know, the fan loyalty in Kansas City and for this football team since they came aboard in the 60s is just absolutely remarkable. Hmm. You saw that Saturday.
Yeah, it was amazing.
They had every right to be nervous and scared, and what did they do? They were on point from the opening snap till the end of the game. They never let up.
Hmm. Last thing for you, Nick. We're going to save the preview for Friday. We'll have you back on here. We'll take an in-depth look at the game. But since you brought the fear of the fans, if you will, you know, 10 being, oh, my God, here comes Tom Brady. I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm terrified. To, it's just the Patriots. We got Pat Mahomes. Where do you think the fan base is? 1 being, you know, not at all. 5 obviously being kind of a little nervous. And 10 completely frightened. Where do you think the fan base is with the Patriots coming to town?
I think it's probably about a 2 or 3. I really do. I think they fear the Colts and the hype of the Colts more so than they're going to fear the Patriots. Listen, they almost beat the Patriots on the road, not at full strength, you know, with 2 big defensive players out, and they almost pulled off the win. They don't fear the Patriots. I think in years past they probably do, and I think if you ask by fan and by man on that roster, they're going to say bring on the Patriots. The Chargers, they would have thumped the Chargers easily. No way the team's coming into Arrowhead twice in the same year and beating them. That's just not going to happen. This is the game that I wanted, and I'll leave you with a little teaser. I think the comments by Tom Brady yesterday saying that everybody hates him, I don't know anybody that hates him. I don't know anybody that doesn't respect the Patriots for what they've done. That tells me he's scared. That tells me he's nervous about this game. That tells me he's not as confident in his team, despite the fact the Chargers played a woeful game and they just beat him up.
Nick, you told it. Oh, sorry. Finish your point.
Yeah, I mean, I am not concerned about this game at all.
So you told us before the playoffs you wanted the path to be Indianapolis, exercise that demon, New England. Well, you're 2 for 2. Let's make it 3 for 3. Who do you want to see the in the Super Bowl and to finish off with that?
I'm telling you right now that you're going to see the way the games are called this weekend. The NFL wants Patrick Mahomes, and they want the L.A. Rams in the Super Bowl, and I'm going to stick to it. even though I want the Drew Brees story to continue, I think it's going to be the Rams and the Chiefs when it's all said and done.
Nick Athan, we will talk to you on Friday at this exact time. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate you coming on, as always.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good to talk to you. ChiefsBlitz.com is where you can read Nick Athan. No fear with Brady coming to town. Not sure I go down that path. I mean, we're talking about Tom Brady and the Patriots. Eight straight times. I mean, think about that. There are 16 teams in the AFC.
Yep.
For the last 8 years, there was one spot for 15 teams. Think about that.
They're incredible. Brady and Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
They should be getting even more love.
They should be. So who took those spots?
Pittsburgh. Denver.
Denver. Colts, right? With Peyton.
Was that within the 8 year window?
I think it had to be. When did he get there? Yeah, I think it probably was maybe going way back because he got to Denver in 14.
Jacksonville last season.
Yeah. So is Jacksonville the only non-Steeler Bronco? I'm going to say Colts, Trent. I'm going to put the Colts in there and see if I'm right or wrong. Are you going to check?
I can check.
Can you?
Yes.
Who are we missing?
Not the Jets. That was well before
not anybody in that conference or in that division.
Well, the Jets made it early in the...
Oh, Baltimore? Baltimore had to be one because Baltimore played San Francisco and New Orleans. Baltimore had to take one of them. Baltimore maybe took two of them. Balt for sure.
All right. You ready?
Go.
It is, of course, KC, New England. Jacksonville last year.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh in 16. Denver 15. Colts 14. Denver 13. Baltimore in 12. Baltimore in 11.
There you go.
And then you go back. The last time they weren't there, it was the Steelers and the Jets. 2010. The Jets made back-to-back AFC Championship games, 09 and 10.
Don't remember that. I remember that they made it in 2000 and, I know, in 1998? Before
98?
That? Did they? What's the 98?
Yeah, against the Broncos, yes.
That's what I remember.
23-10.
Bill Parcells.
Yes.
In Denver. It was in Denver.
At Mile High.
That was the same day that the Vikings got Vikinged by Atlanta.
Remember it well.
I was there. It was unbelievable. We'll take a timeout. We will come back. Going to go inside the numbers. Jason Symbol, CG Technology. I want to spend a few minutes on maybe a developing story that hopefully is not going to reverberate media-wise here in Central Iowa. And that's the Gannett news that's coming out today, or came out overnight. And what potentially might that do to newspapers if indeed this hedge fund is able to acquire Gannett and all of the papers that are underneath them, one of which is our hometown paper, the Des Moines Register. Because with this hedge fund, when they buy up newspapers, they come in with a machete, not a knife.
All that matters is the bottom line when you're talking about places
like this. They don't care.
Yep.
They don't care. That's what hedge funds do. Digital First Media, looking to buy Gannett. If Gannett is acquired by them, the Des Moines Register is not going to be the same, sadly, because that's the way they've done it. We'll take a time out. Off to Vegas. Jason Symbol, CG Technology. Did Vegas win the weekend, or did the bettors get them? We'll find out when Trent and I continue. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
KXNO in your pocket with iHeartRadio on your smartphone. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Fuller Family Dentistry, a couple of locations in Polk County, east side, eastern Polk County, 2822 East 29th Street in Des Moines, and 410 8th Street Southwest in Altoona. Dr. Stephen Fuller, FullerDental.net, brings us our final segment of the Monday edition of Miller and Condon. Let's go to the desert. Off we go to Las Vegas. Jason Symbol, CG Technology, joins us. How are you, Jason?
I'm pretty good, just recovering from a fun weekend of games, that's for sure.
Now, did the bettors win, or did the properties take care of them again this week?
Yeah, not a great week for the bettors, that's for sure. Even though you had all the favorites winning and three of four favorites covering, that's usually a recipe for disaster for us. except this was one of the rare weeks where we needed the favorites, and it worked out for us pretty well.
You know, I saw a tweet from you yesterday that you were putting your feet up as something, I'm paraphrasing, just how rare it was for the book to need the New England Patriots.
I mean, it's so funny. Like, the Patriots were playing at home with the Belichick-Brady combination, yet these people kept betting the Chargers. I couldn't understand it. And I'm watching this game, and like, 6-7 minutes into the game, as Brady is just methodically picking this team apart at will, I realize, you know, this ain't so bad, being able to root for these guys every now and again. So the house definitely needed the Pats there, and it was nice to be able to root for them for a change.
Couple of instances in the game where coming down late, it was going to come right around that point spread, both Saturday night and then game two on Sunday. First, the decision to go for two. Well, A, go for a touchdown at the 1 yard line by the Rams, as opposed to making an 11-point game, then to go for two, or wait to go for two by Dallas after they scored it to cut it to 30-21, kick the extra point. And then, of course, what happened, the missed field goal late in the game. Huge. With the Saints yesterday.
Yeah, so in the first game, I was actually rooting for the Rams to kick the field goal there, because the best-case scenario for us was actually the Rams winning the game by 1-6, because we did take a decent amount of action on the Rams -7 and a ton of action on the Cowboys money line. So if the Rams would have went up there, you know, they could have done the thing where they just kind of play the lazy defense, let the Cowboys score, and then recover the onside kick and win, and then the Cowboys would fail to cover, and then the Cowboys would cover but fail to win, which would have set us up perfectly. So when the Rams went it and got it, that was, you know, really no chance for a Cowboys cover there. In the late game, it was the opposite for us. The best case scenario happened, which was we had to knock the Eagles out because of A, we do terrible to them in the Super Bowl futures, and B, we did really bad to them if they were to win the game as well. Plus, we didn't necessarily want the Saints to cover either. So missing that field goal and the Saints winning by 6 was the perfect combo for us.
So who are you rooting for as far as futures now of the four remaining teams? What team is best for you?
The best team for us right now is the team that we win the most amount of money to is actually the Patriots, believe it or not. So people were so off the Patriot bandwagon, you know, pretty much all season. Here we are. They're there again, and we do quite well with them in the futures.
So where's the biggest liability right now? Who are you rooting against going
forward?
Or is
there any liability?
Yeah, well, we had three teams with a big, fat red number next to it when the playoffs started, and they're all gone. It was the Seahawks, the Eagles, and the Bears. So with those out of there, we really are in a good spot either way. The Chiefs would be the next best. We're in a good spot with the AFC no matter what, because the Patriots and the Chiefs are pretty similar. Patriots are a little bit better, and we do a little bit better to the Rams than the Saints, but not a bad spot. People don't love betting the favorites because they want the bigger payouts. So when all the favorites get there, it turns out okay for us.
It's going to be different being in Las Vegas on Saturdays going forward. I mean, you've had Saturday football going back to Labor Day weekend, and this was the last one this past Saturday. It's going to be different, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to spend time with the family or something. I don't know what to do because there's going to be a lot of downtime. But yeah, I mean, even though there's no football, we now have this time of year where there's like 900 college basketball games every Saturday and all the pro stuff going. So we keep ourselves busy.
All right. So when you put the numbers up on the board, the NFC and the AFC championship, what did you set them at? And then what did the pros who just hang out and wait for the numbers to go up and instantly run to the counter, get on their mobile device and start playing this game? What did you put them at and what did you see the minute they were posted, Jason?
So starting with the AFC game, because we knew that one pretty early on, you know, in the third quarter we posted that game because you knew the Pats weren't losing. So we posted 2.5, Chiefs -2.5, and it was a shade too low. They bet the Chiefs right away and moved it to 3. Since it's been at 3, it's been all two-way action. So Patriots -3 seems like, you know, spot-on number, which means teams are basically even, but Arrowhead is worth a field goal for the Chiefs. The one thing to note in that game, which is interesting, is we really discounted back the Patriots money line because figured that there's going to be a lot of people who don't want to take the 3 with the Pats but would much rather play them on the money line. So even though the spreads of both games are within the same range, the Pats are +135 on the money line as compared to the Rams, who are +155 on the money line, because fewer people, I think, are going to bet the Rams money line than the Pats. But in the second game, we went with 3 there. There's a lot of people who are at 3.5 now. We're probably going to go to 3.5 soon. So looks like it's going to be Chiefs -3, Saints -3.5. I think it's going to be tough to come off those numbers.
How about the totals? I see a couple of spots have 57 for both of them. Any early movement with the over-under in the games?
Yeah, we're at 57 in the AFC game. In the NFC game, we were at 57 and had to tick it up to 57.5 because of some early over money. You know the public is going to bet the over in both these games unless there's some type of snowy weather that kind of happened with Kansas City last week in that game. But Rams Saints, considering there's not going to be weather there, public's going to love the over. These teams played before and the game went over as well. So even though the Saints games have not been going over the past 6 weeks, I don't think that's going to stop them from betting the over in that one.
How much more handle would you see if the NFL moved these games to Saturday as opposed to Sunday? Because I'm sure you can bet the game in advance of your flight early Sunday morning. But would you do better handle if the games were on Saturday?
The primetime Saturday night game we typically do really, really well to because people want to hang out in the book and watch it. I wouldn't be opposed to doing like a Saturday primetime and then a Sunday primetime, instead of them on the both. Instead of having these games on both the same day, that would kind of stretch out the handle for us. You have a week off between the Super Bowl anyway, so playing one day before or after won't matter. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. I don't know if that idea has ever been tossed around, but it's something I've thought of a bunch.
I don't think that it matters, right? I mean, you guys, Vegas is going to be crowded for the Super Bowl. The Rams, with the proximity, are you guys hoping for the Rams to get there just for that? Like, Las Vegas would be very, very difficult to get a room. The books would be packed. Does it matter to Las Vegas who's in the Super Bowl, Jason?
Not really. I mean, I would love to see the Chiefs beat the Patriots only because I just want to put up some fun new props, right? Pat Mahomes, all that stuff. It's the same stuff. The hoodie, Belichick with the hoodie and Bob Crow.
Right.
It's just the same things every year. So Pats fans are mad at me for saying that now. But, there is some fatigue, I think, from bettors betting the same props year after year after year on the Pats. So I would think that, to be honest with you, I'm rooting more for the Chiefs than I would be Saints Rams for that main reason.
Any suggestions for people maybe heading out for the Super Bowl here in 2 weeks, never done Vegas before, or even people on the fence that are looking for a cheap ticket? What would you say to people that have never been out there for the Super Bowl? Some inside tidbits, if you will.
Yeah, I'd give you two main things. Number one, do not wait until Sunday to bet. You have, we're posting the Super Bowl matchup will be posted the day the game, the matchup is known. And the props are posted, a week before the game. So if you're getting into town early on, you want to bet as soon as possible. It's the Super Bowl, so the line's not going to move that much. That would materially affect your bet unless there's an injury that's unforeseen. So certainly bet in time because the lines do start creeping up there, and you don't want to have to waste an hour waiting online the Sunday morning of the Super Bowl. That's number one. Number two, unless you're going to buy tickets to a party that a lot of books are having, some of these, casinos are having, some of these places do kind of an invite only for slot player. So if you're just coming down to the book to hang out, as long as you're okay and willing to kind of stand and watch the game, it's super fun. But, it is going to be pretty much standing room only in all the sports books unless you're a big player.
Do you have the college basketball numbers at your fingertips by chance?
I do.
What, because I keep watching Virginia, and I saw Duke and Florida State play a real nail-biter, and I really like Michigan and Michigan State, and Kansas seems to be headed. Maybe this isn't the year for them. Who's the favorite right now to cut down the nets?
Oh, Duke is still the favorite. They're at 2-1, believe it or not, even though they had that nail-biter the other day against Florida State yesterday. Or Saturday, whenever it was, they're still the favorite at 2-1. And then there's some other teams that are right there. Gonzaga is at 8-1. Mm-hmm. Michigan is at 9-1. So there are some teams that are kind of in that range, but Duke is still the big-time odds-on favorite.
You guys going to put up anything before the brackets released in terms of either just making the NCAA tournament or making a Final Four? Not winning the whole thing, but anything different? Or is there just not enough love for that to even make it worth your while?
No, we will. When football ends and we start focusing on some other stuff, so we're going to put up odds to win the tournaments, each of the conference tournaments. We'll throw those up, as well as some kind of fun, season-long type props for the college. And we're going to do the same in the NHL and the NBA also. But we kind of usually push those things off until football ends, so we're getting close.
Vegas versus Jets tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's a fun game with Vegas against the Jets, that's for sure.
Indeed. Hey, great to talk to you, Jason. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to Jason Symbol, CG Technology, as we go inside the numbers. So the books won again, Trent Condon, this past weekend.
Huge shocker, right?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
It's that's the way. Although I seem to recall there were more Mondays when we talked to Jason that didn't go their way this year maybe than previous years. Do you remember that early
it
September?
Was a favorites kind of thing, uh-huh, in the NFL early on. Yeah, there was a lot of that. But in the end, They're not going to tear down those hotels, are they?
No, indeed. All right, so tonight, a couple of minutes on Tube Talk here. Good night in the Big Ten. I mean, starts early, too. Now that you don't have to stay on the radio until 6 o'clock,
yes,
you can get home, watch a little Nebraska, Indiana, Maryland, Wisconsin later, Kansas and Texas at 8 o'clock.
Baylor, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Maybe a stretch.
Yeah.
But if the other one turns into a blot, if Kansas is up 12 mm-hmm. and the Big Ten game kind of stinks.
You know, and I like what the Big Ten has done here. They've got a half-hour head start.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a rooting interest, perhaps, or if you... What I think people are doing, at least I think I will, is if I get into the 5:30 game, which tonight is Nebraska and Indiana, say there was a 6 o'clock game not involving Iowa or Iowa State, because, of course, that's where you're going to go... I think you're probably more prone to stay there because you've invested the first half hour in the game. So they're going 5:30 and 7:30 as opposed to 6 and 8. I like that.
You like that. Do a ton of people, though. How many people are like you?
No, none.
There's right. <few.
laughs> in every single aspect of life.
Sitting there, locked in. I mean, people normally have dinner, you know, between 5, 6, 6:30.
Right.
You?
You know what I read about myself this weekend? Boy, I read some nasty stuff about myself.
Uh-oh.
The only prep that I do,
yeah,
I read the Register for 15 minutes before I go on the air.
That's it.
That's all I do, Trent Condon. I never watch any games. Trent, there's nobody that's ever done this in this market that's watched more games than I have.
There is not a doubt.
There isn't. Thank you, Cindy.
You are locked and loaded, and you will be at 5:30 tonight for Nebraska, Indiana.
15 minutes, that's all he does. Read the rag, and he's good to go. Speaking of the rag, that's where I wanted to end the show. We kind of touched on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If Gannett is sold, and God, I hope that they're not. Look, we know that the newspaper industry is in deep, 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 deep water. And Gannett, which owns USA Today, there is a, I don't think it's a hostile takeover, although maybe it is. There's a company, a hedge fund known as Digital First Media, and they've gone around the country and they've bought up a whole bunch of newspapers. And the first thing that they do is they gut the staff. I mean, gut the staff. They own the Des Moines Register, Gannett.
Mm-hmm.
If this company gets a hold of Gannett, you can bet your bottom dollar there, sadly, there are going to be names that we recognize out on the street.
Tough spot.
It's awful. It is awful.
Is this imminent? This
sure seems like it.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. They've offered $1.36 billion. The offer has been made. Now, apparently, they've gone to Gannett in the past and tried to acquire, and to this point, Gannett has... You know, been able to fend them off, but it's not like in that the time that's passed since the first offer that all of a sudden they found all this new revenue as far as advertising in mm-hmm. the newspaper or digitally at the newspaper sites. I mean, sooner or later, this offer is going to be accepted. I believe that's going to be the case. And if that's the case, man, oh man, there's going to be some names we know, we read. You know, maybe some of them you hear on this very radio station.
Absolutely.
Because Iowa's got two reporters. Iowa State's got two reporters. It's not going to be the same as we know it. I mean, think about that. The paper the way it is now. I mean, here's the thing, Trent, it drives me nuts. You're a high school football fan. Mm-hmm. High school football is really popular. We don't get to see the scores until Sunday's paper.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Because there aren't the same editors.
There aren't
the same people.
Manpower. Staffing. Yes. It's not there.
It's not just the frontline people, the people that we see,
right.
Their byline.
Right.
It goes a lot deeper than that, and it's not good.
So we'll watch that one very closely. All right, Zubin Mehente is going to be here tomorrow working on Rob Dobster from NBC Sports, College Basketball Talk. He's one of their national guys. We do expand a little. When is our bracketologist, Shelby Mass? When would be a good time to get him for the first time? Is it too early?
Yeah, maybe in the in-between Super Bowl Conference Championship week.
Good okay.
start to things.
Which is next week, by the way.
Yeah, we're getting there.
We'll be back tomorrow with 10. Murph and Andy next at 2. Fanatics at 4. The Morning Rush tomorrow morning at 6. Trent Condon, Miller and Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.